Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense of me or at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is time for us to collect your prayer cards, and you may be seated. Sorry, you guys are standing like the king just entered the room here. It felt nice. Anyway, let's open up prayer, and this is a sermon that your pastor needs to hear today. And so, considering I haven't had the opportunity to go listen to messages and be encouraged, because, you know, as a pastor, you have to be an encouragement to everybody. And when you're going through discouragement times, when you're going through frustration times, you can't just go, "Okay, guys, preach to me." And so what happens is sometimes when you put a message together, you go, "Dang, dude, this is what I need to hear." So let's kind of imagine me sitting in here and say, "You know what? Because what I'm teaching is the truth." But man, it's difficult at times. Life can be hard. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to trust you, to depend on you. And we know, Lord, that you take us through journeys that we don't necessarily want to go on. And we know, Lord, that through the journey of life and through what you bring us through, that we can just gravitate and become closer to you. We just thank you for this season, Lord, as sometimes it's the darkest month of the year, but it just reminds us sometimes it can be the darkest emotionally for us as well. We just pray, Lord, as we go through this message through your word, that it can be encouragement to us, that we can embrace your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Now, have you ever had somebody that just drives you nuts at work? And they say, "Look at the computer, I want you to figure something out for me." And you just go, if you put this picture up here, you're looking at this picture and you go, "Okay, I don't get it." He goes, "Do you see it?" I go, "See what?" Now, frankly, I'm not even looking at the screen by now because I'm totally annoyed. But he goes, "Do you see the cat?" And I go, "I don't see the cat. Do you guys see the cat?" Okay, I don't either. So this is where you just want to tell the person to go away. And he says, "Look at the wood pile." And I'm going, "There's three of them. That the whole picture is a wood pile." He goes, "Look at the center wood pile." And I go, "I'm looking at the center wood pile. Do you see the cat?" Frankly, I don't even see the cat. I don't care about the cat. I can care less. I gotta go to work. So he goes, "Look, because you guys help me, because you don't see this cat either. And frankly, you probably don't care about the cat either. And so if you look at the, he goes, look at the center stack, top log, second from the top. Do you see the cat? The second from the top log, that all of a sudden in that, the class, you know, you don't see it, do you?
Yes.
You see right on the right of it, that's his face. And then his tail is over this end. You see that? If you don't see it, that means now you see it. Good, you don't see it. Frankly, the other ones just lied to me, the other congregation, just said, yeah, I see the cat. Now, the reason I'm starting off on this, because I don't have another opening illustration, no, the reason I'm doing this is because a lot of things that we see in life, especially a lot of us don't see God's hand moving in certain situations in our life, that sometimes we have to be taught where to look. Because sometimes God is in plain sight, and we don't see him in plain sight. And he's moving, even if we don't feel like he's moving. And so when I was preparing this message, I was looking at the lectionary, and the lectionary is all about looking. It's about gaining sight. It's about turning the blind, and making them see. And so when I look at scriptures like Isaiah chapter 35, 1 through 10, in the Old Testament it says, they shall see the glory of the Lord. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. And so there's times in our lives we're not seeing the glory of God in our situations. Or when you jump over to Psalms, it says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord watches over strangers. And if we move up to the New Testament, James says, see the judge is standing at the doors. And Matthew says, and see the blind receive their sight. What did you go into the wilderness to look at? Look, what did you go and see? See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. Now, it's important to understand why in the world are we focused so much on sight? I'm all of a sudden the blind becoming that they can see. So I wrote this on the screen. It says, when we are told to look, we are given a heads up that we could easily miss something. We are being told that what we need to see is often hidden in plain sight. We are often blinded by what we are seeing from seeing what we need to see. Do you get the point? And so when we understand this, last week we talked about the passage in the Bible about John the Baptist. And if you remember, John the Baptist was nuts. And John the Baptist was way out in the wilderness, and crowds of people were going to see him. And not only was he nuts, he looked nuts because he was wearing camel hair all the time. And he had this nutty dietary thing. He was eating locusts and honey. And he was screaming on the top of his lungs that you must repent. But a lot of people were, hundreds and hundreds of people were coming over to be baptized, even religious people. And so in this passage, if we continue in this story, we see what's going on, and it's incredible. Because there's two things happening that are on the screen now. Jesus moves into a public ministry. He's starting to speak to enormous crowds now. And he's starting to speak right now. And then what the second thing was happening is John the Baptist had the foot and the mouth disease and basically was prophetic and spoke prophetic into Herod's wife. Herod was the king. And so therefore it pissed his wife off and he was thrown into prison. That's what was going on with John the Baptist. So John the Baptist's perspective, his sight, was he was in prison. He was focused on his circumstances. This is an incredible man of God that was doing incredible things, that was bringing light to Jesus' ministry. But now he's feeling left out. Now, I don't know about you, if you ever felt like when you first became a Christian, you first were in the ministry, you were excited. You were excited about doing some things for the Lord, and you had so much hope. And then all of a sudden, when you go into circumstances that you're going, Jesus, I need out of this situation, that you don't see Jesus in the walls of your life as well. And so there's a good possibility, or I should say probability, that John the Baptist was going to be killed, and he wasn't going to leave that prison until he was dead. And so therefore, he's thinking, this would be a great time for the Messiah to come. This would be a great time for the Savior to save me. You ever been in those situations where you're just going, okay, I'm in a situation where I need Jesus, and I need him now. And I need him right now to save me out of this situation. Because I tried everything that I could possibly do, and I can't get myself out. And so this was John the Baptist, and he was focusing on his circumstances again. And so basically, John the Baptist, when he knew that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom, he felt that he was going to establish his kingdom here on earth in a revolution way to free the Jewish people up from the Roman oppression. And so therefore, he had this perspective of what the Messiah should be like and what the Messiah should do. And so you look on the screen, John the Baptist saw his current circumstances and totally uncertain about his future circumstances. And so John the Baptist, again, was focusing on his circumstances. And just like me this week, just like you, and just go, okay, this is nuts. And so if you look on the screen, if you've ever felt this way, you're in good company, because your pastor has felt this way many times too. It says this: Jesus, are you really the one? Have you ever felt this way? Are you the one who can save me, or should I look somewhere else? This is where our faith becomes jacked up, doesn't it? Where all of a sudden we're going, okay, Lord, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's come on. But here it is. What's good is I'm in outstanding company, because John the Baptist said the exact same thing. Because he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Basically, he forms his disappointment in a question. I don't know if you have been married or a spouse. Should it depend on you or not? You know that's a dig, isn't it? Or can you do it? I doubt it. And so, should I ask for someone else to do some of the housework because you can't? You know that's a real dig. And so John the Baptist sent this message to his disciples. John the Baptist had his own disciples. So his disciples sent this message to Jesus. And basically, he sat in prison and waited. Now, we sing Wait Upon the Lord, and this is waiting for John the Baptist, was really waiting for him. And the song that we sing, Jesus, let me see you. Let me see the eye, see you. This is all of our prayer here. And so later on, guess what? John the Baptist's disciples came back. And they said, this is what Jesus said. Now, this is where I would want to hear, Lord, okay, I got your back. I got your back. We're going to send an F-18, and we're going to blow the bejeebers out of them, and all this stuff. All you have to do is say, I got it all. It would be like a Mission Impossible thing that I would be praying for God, because basically my situation is impossible. So this is what Jesus says. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going on without looking at the notes. Jesus answered them. Okay, this is what he said. Go and tell them what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. How would you feel if you heard that from, all of a sudden you're sitting in prison and goes, oh, that's great, but what about me? And basically he's telling John the Baptist, he didn't say anything about I'll be there. He really encouraged him to change his perspective. See, a lot of us, that's one thing we can change much quicker than we can change our circumstances, is our perspective. And so you look back on the screen, because of his perspective for John the Baptist, he was looking for the wrong places for the Messiah. And see, if you look this, the Messiah is not here to conquer the powerful, but to uplift the powerless. If you want to find a Messiah, you will not find him having an armed battle for a palace or a throne. You will find him outside serving those who are not being served by those who sit on the throne. And at other times, Jesus even said this in Matthew 10, verse 45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so you understand that Jesus really made it clear that his life wasn't about power, especially earthly power, but it was about a ransom. It's about serving the needy, serving the poor. It's easy to start missing Jesus when we get focused on our own circumstances, when we make Jesus to be something that we want, not something that we need. There's a big difference there. Because it's just like working out. I don't want to be stronger. It hurts. But right? I mean, I don't look super buff because I don't want to deal with the pain. And then if I have somebody say, does it hurt? And I go, yeah, well, that means it's working. But spiritually, we don't want to do that, do we? And we're going, Jesus, it hurts. And he goes, dude, do you want to get stronger? No, I don't. I don't want to get stronger. I just want to be loved. I want a genie. What's going on? I don't need to grow anymore. Are you with me? This is how I feel today. I just want to be comforted. I just want to be pampered. I just want to say, don't worry about growing. We'll just take care of you. I want to literally put my spiritual head on Jesus' lap and have him play with my hair. That's what I want, okay? Is that wrong? You know you're in the same boat, okay? You just don't put that analogy. And so basically, this is what we say, Jesus, why don't I see you? Where are you right now? This is times where we don't feel like it. And Jesus answers the same way, and I put it on the screen, I'm here. You just need to know where to look. And this is where we understand, because again, when we're focused on our circumstances, we don't see Jesus. But when we focus, we're taught, just like that dumb cat analogy that we used at the beginning, and when we're told this, then we see Jesus. See, the thing is, John the Baptist, when Jesus sent the message to John the Baptist, he used John the Baptist as a teaching illustration. Now, apparently, it's the crowd that he was talking to are the ones that chased John the Baptist at the beginning of his ministry that were baptized. And so he challenges the crowd about their perspective. He says this, verse 7, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. And he forms it in questions. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? When they were talking about when they were running to John the Baptist, a reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. And so basically, they were so excited about John the Baptist because he was representing and hopefully this power that was going to come, like this political power. Now, when I look at this passage, I decide, you know what? Let me go to someone that's smarter than me. So I went to N.T. Wright. He's one of the biggest Bible scholars that all get out here. And he writes about this, about what Jesus was doing. And I put it on the screen. He says he teases the crowd into thinking harder about who John was. So therefore, who Jesus himself must be. And so therefore, in our situations, we are challenged in the same way. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus really? And John wasn't like the royalty they knew. He was nothing like Herod, who emblemed on his coins. Was a reed waving in the wind? He wasn't dressed in the sort of fine clothes the rich and famous people, especially royalty, would wear. John was different. He was a prophet, not just any prophet either, but the prophets that previous prophets had spoken about. He was the one destined to get the path ready for God's Messiah, to work along when he had arrived. You see, John the Baptist was imprisoned by Herod. Herod actually believed he was the king of all Jews. He was the king. And John the Baptist was going, no, you're not the king. Jesus is the true king of the Jews. So he was going against the authority, against the powers of the world here. See, Jesus makes it clear here, and I put it on the screen. If you're looking for a Messiah that is just a stronger version of Herod, you're not going to find him. That Messiah is no Messiah. Such a person would just bring greater destruction and not salvation. See, so where is Jesus now in 2016? Now, some of us are frustrated where the world's going, but I'm telling you right now, if you're east of California and west of New York, a lot of people believe that the Messiah is going to be in the White House.
in January, that the Savior is going to be in the White House. Well, let me, I understand Scripture pretty well. And Jesus is not really into political power. So no, he's not going to the White House. In fact, if Hillary Clinton was becoming president, he wouldn't be going to the White House. He doesn't choose that type of power. What Jesus chooses is to work through ordinary people like me, like you, to do extraordinary things and to heal our own blindness, our spiritual blindness, so that we can see the Lord, that the Lord chooses the foolish things, and I'm the perfect example of that, to shame the wise things of the world. And so his movement in our society, when the history of the world is going crazy, this is where the church gets big. This is where the church expands in tremendous, because the Lord heals deafness and where spiritual deafness into where we're hearing the Lord inside and out, where he heals spiritual crippledness, where you think, I cannot walk consistently with the Lord, can I? And my walk is strong, then it's not, then it's strong, then it's not. And so therefore he can heal you completely, that you can walk and run and move in the way of the Lord, that you and I can walk in complete wholeness, that our sins that have completely destroyed our life or addiction, that our life is not over through our brokenness, but we can start to live this important new life. And when we lose sight of Jesus, what happens? We lock ourselves, focus ourselves, we become self-focused. And all of a sudden, when more self-focused, the less we see Jesus. But what Jesus is encouraging John the Baptist is see what God is doing now through other people. He says, look at the blind, look at this, look at that. Take your eyes off you. See what the Lord's doing in this situation. This is why he says, and I'll put it on the screen, go and tell John what you hear and see. This is where it gets deep for me, because we have tendency to look at the wrong places. Now, let me give an example. I've been doing the Hump Day podcast, which it's really interesting towards my little ego, because the Hump Day podcasts are 3 to 4 times more listeners than my sermons. And then what's interesting is if you look at the 2 podcasts with Justin about grief and Paul Wilkinson about the loss of his wife, those podcasts, they are so hundreds of people are listening to those and still consistent, because people are gravitating towards how do you deal with loss and their stories. And so let me give you an example. Let me show you the picture of Summer Reed. Summer Reed, this is her father who died of dementia just less than a year ago. This was one of my good friends that we went through divorces together in the 90s. And I had the privilege of doing his service. Summer shares in this podcast that she's lost close friends and close family members since 2005, 14 family members and close friends to death. And her journey is incredible, listening, because it's not this perfected destiny of jumping in joy all the time, but this incredible journey that she's been going on. And then the next one, if you listen to the next Hump Day podcast, which is a week from Wednesday, his name is Jacob Evers. He spoke here about a year ago, and his wife left him years ago. And so what's fascinating about this story, not only that God restored his relationship with his dad, and he's very vocal about how angry his dad was, how angry he was at his dad because his dad was an alcoholic, but yet a leader in the church, and how he grew up with the inconsistency at the church. And so therefore he's restored his ministry, restored his relationship with his dad, and also he just got engaged in November, but had a tremendous difficult time. Then the next one is Vince. Do you guys recognize Vince? Vince is a quiet dude in this church, and he comes to the 10:45 this morning. He was at the 9 o'clock service. He came as a illegal immigrant at 7 years old here. Went to junior high, went to high school here, and then because of President Obama of the DACA program, that he was able to get an education and stuff, and he has two BA degrees in political science and political this. But man, he gets very emotional when he shares about, we are not, us Mexicans, or we're not rapists, we're not murderers here. We are giving this. And so therefore, when all of a sudden the election went in a way that all of a, the new president was saying that we're going to take all these the funding away from the DACA program, and that we're going to deport these 750,000 students that are going to college. He decided, you know what, I'm going to share my story. So all of a sudden, a TV station got his story, and he shared it, and ended up in Washington, D.C., and sharing a story about how he's a good, he's talking about my people and stuff like this, that this is wrong. But he shares this incredible story of sitting in a restaurant, and that his uncle took him to the restaurant and said, why did I take you to this restaurant? He goes, I have no idea, it's a dump. He goes, this is a restaurant where Martin Luther King wrote the speech, the speech, I Have a Dream. And he stood on the Lincoln Memorial and had this spiritual experience that he's going to make a difference. And he's so excited about where the country's going. But yet, instead of crying about it, he's going to say, you know what? If I'm going to get deported, I'm going to make a scene. And so therefore, he's just incredible, this movement. And then he shares that in 2 weeks. And so if you look back on the screen, these are people within our church, people within our connection with this church that have these incredible stories. And so who do you know whose sight has been restored? Who can finally see again after a time of groping in the shadows of pain and grief and despair? Who do you know that has been limping along, barely able to make it, and now is able to walk? Where have you seen disease, be it physical or spiritual, emotional, interpersonal, or systematic, being healed? Where have you seen reconciliation occur? Where have you witnessed hope being restored? What have you heard above the clamor of the cheerful holiday, music playing continually in public places that assured you that there are those who truly do still remember the reason for the season? How have you seen the good news of Jesus Christ being made real for the poor of your community this season? How have you and your congregation participated in making Christ's love and justice real in those you need? See, the thing is, when we change our perspective and focus on things like that, we can see God's hands moving. We can see Jesus, just like that dumb little picture, that all of a sudden we can see the movement of Jesus. And hindsight is 20/20 spiritually as well. Because it is a gift. It is a miracle that I'm still around at 54 years old. It's a miracle that you are still around. We take a lot for granted. Like, for instance, Giovanni, who just led the worship today. Yesterday, right before worship, he found out his best friend that he grew up with died in his sleep at 29 years old. They have no idea what happened. He's not on drugs. They're doing an autopsy. But I'm just saying, every day's a gift. It's a miracle that we're alive at our age, or especially at my age. And so it's a miracle if you think about this. So, but maybe you're struggling today with, you're uncertain about certain things and circumstance, and your anxiety or resentment is building up because you're focusing on your situation rather than how Jesus is. I'm telling you, you can change your perspective much quicker than you can change your circumstances. And your pastor has to consciously make that choice today as well. In fact, if I was doing an altar call, I would call myself up. I'm just being honest, okay? That there's confession and repentance that I need to do as well. And so, therefore, if you have a story, a story is not about a destination. The story is a journey. And so if you guys want to share on the Hump Day podcast, I would love to. We just sit in my office. In fact, it gets to a point where I had two people that I can't do their Hump Day podcast because one of them used the F word 3 times. The other one used the word S word 2 times. And I'm going, you guys feel comfortable, but I can't be putting this out. And so I had to redo this because it's just like us talking and stuff like that. And they go, yeah, mother, you know, and all this stuff. And usually it's about politics and stuff like that. Like, this can't go out. But they're passionate about this stuff. And so I want to encourage you to do that, or sometime in the beginning of the year to share your story here behind the pulpit, because everyone has a story, a journey that brings them to Jesus. And so if you look at your connection card, I want to encourage you. I want you guys to pray for me too this week. Can you do that? And I would appreciate that, because usually we forget about praying for a pastor because we think, he doesn't struggle. He doesn't go through stuff. Trust me, I do. You carry the weight of a church, and then, you know, you go through stuff. And so on your connection card, it says this: I've seen Jesus at work in my life. I have a story of healing and restoration that I would love to share. And so if you cannot use profanity, then we'll go for it, okay? But the problem is, this church is real. That's the deal. And so if not, I'll learn how to edit. So it's just a bunch of beeping noises. I don't know how to do it. So anyway, may God bless you, and may God bless his word.